Lisa, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very, very good. We were talking off air. You mentioned that you've got a very, very busy evening ahead of you.
Yes, it's election night, which basically means it's like the Super Bowl for journalists. We are up all night till the election results come in, and we don't leave until we finish every single story.
So do not bother Lisa tonight. Do not bother Lisa tomorrow. We told you last week, don't go knocking on Lisa's door during Halloween either, right?
Stop telling the people that. I need people to contact me. I mean, that's how I get stories.
Well, you were very busy last week, extraordinarily busy last week. A lot of different topics for us to get into today. I want to discuss the medical cannabis zoning. That had been narrowed in Elyria. You had written a story about that last week. Now, something that Mayor Brenda said in there kind of stood out to me as far as where the dispensaries can go. And I think she had mentioned that they're viewing it the same way one would view a drugstore. What did she mean by that?
Well, that's correct. Well, a dispensary is where a person with a prescription from a doctor for medical marijuana will go to pick up their supply. This is the same way a person would go to a pharmacy to pick up a cold medicine or a painkiller. So the thinking is to have the dispensaries in areas that are zoned business general or light industrial, heavy industrial. You can put them in places that people can easily get to from their homes or their doctor's offices. So, and then you talk about cultivation and processing. This is a little different. These are kind of warehouse style operations. That's where they're growing the plants. That's where they're taking them and breaking them down and making them into the medical grade products. And so those need to be in more of industrial areas. And so that's the reason why they zone those for heavy industrial.
Now, how does it work from this point? Because didn't the state basically release kind of the areas they were going to allow it to be cultivated and grown? And Oberlin, I knew, was in.
Yes.
But does Elyria, can they get one in the future?
They can, because that's where the smaller up to 3,000 square foot facilities. There's still another round with some larger facilities, about 300,000 square feet that people can still apply for and get. So those announcements will probably be coming out shortly.
Okay. Yeah. I was curious about that. I had seen that. I wasn't sure where that kept Elyria here in the mix.
Everyone looked for that list. When city officials heard that list came out, everyone wanted to know if their city was on there.
Cool. Certainly looking forward to watching how that develops. And while we're on the topic of Mayor Brenda, you wrote an article last week talking about how she wants to give a business, wasn't disclosed, a business, $500,000 to bring its business operations to Elyria, to that former Macy's building. You alluded to this a little bit last week. But what are the details of what kinds of resistance did she get initially on that?
Okay. Well, she doesn't want to give them the money. She wants to loan them the money. She's very clear of letting people know that she doesn't want to give anyone that's kind of money. She wants to loan into a business. And so the way this happened, this actually passed last night. So City Council voted 8-2 to pass this ordinance to make this donation happy. So the city will give $500,000 to the Community Improvement Corporation, and then the Community Improvement Corporation will evaluate the company's application and then loan the money to the company.
So how, so this, in, I thought you had mentioned 30 days, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be 30 days. By the city's charter, all legislation that comes through City Council has to have three full readings, and then it has to council will vote on it, and then after the council votes, it has to wait 30 days before it's effective. Now, council can suspend those rules if they all vote on it. And so last night, they voted to suspend the rules for the three readings, meaning they can vote immediately, but they did not vote to suspend the rules for the emergency, meaning that it had to wait 30 days before it can go into effect.
I saw that Mayor Brenda wanted to get this going as fast as she can possibly do it. 30 days would mean the beginning of December, essentially, is when that money would be available for the CIC to loan elsewhere.
Yes, she wanted to move a little quickly because the property owners that own the Macy's building want to close before the end of the year. So the business wants to kind of dot the I's, cross the T's as quickly as possible to get this property. They want to be able to have their loan approved and so that they can tell Macy's that they have all their financing in place so that they can make this deal happen.
Now, do we know, is Macy's in contact right now with this unnamed company? Or?
Yes. Okay. So Macy's and his company are working things out, and Macy's has kind of told them they want to close by the end of the year.
And why is it that the company hasn't been named yet? I mean, is there anything to the secrecy just in case something falls through?
I think that's the way it works. There's many times that companies don't want to disclose the moves that they're making until they finalize them. And so going through the CIC, they can get around the public records rules, because when you go through the city, everything is a public record. Mm. Every email, every correspondence that goes to the mayor is a public record. So, you know, we can just easily ask for those documents. But by going through the CIC, she's allowed to sign a confidentiality agreement that kind of keeps all of those details confidential until a contract is signed.
Sure. And I saw if this goes through, there's a promise of new jobs in the area, obviously,
yes,
as well.
Yeah. This company says they will be making about a $3.2 million investment in the area and bring about 22 jobs to the city over 3 years.
Is the idea moving forward to keep the existing structure, or are they going to tear it down?
I don't know, because I don't know any details about what the company wants to do when they get in there. I'm hoping that a lot of those details will come out once the agreements are in place and we've had a chance to see what they want to do.
Now, from a community perspective, are there some folks that are on board with the idea of tearing it down? Like, is the structure in decent shape? Do we know? Is it one of those buildings that if somebody's going to bring their business here, are they going to want to tear that down, you think? Only because that thing's been sitting there for a little while.
Well, I hear it's actually in pretty good shape.
Okay.
Macy's left last year, so, and they kept the building in pretty good condition while they were there, and they sealed it up pretty good since they've been gone. It's not like the Dillard's property. The Dillard's property, which is also privately owned, had some issues with water damage, and that building they believe can be unsalvageable, and they hope it can be donated to the city so the city can demolish it.
Yes. Well, you don't want a structure like that with water problems. That just creates a whole new set of issues.
The city thinks that if they can get that building donated to them and they can demolish the building, they can open up another 18 acres of land for development near the mall.
Prime real estate.
Yes.
Yeah, no question about that. Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram and our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by 9-Round 30-Minute Kickbox Fitness. Well, you gave us an update on Pedro Hernandez Ramirez, the gentleman who was deported about a month or so ago. Now, his family needs some help. What kinds of help is his family seeking?
His family has a GoFundMe account. It's if you look on GoFundMe under Help Celeste, that's his wife and his three children. They are looking for some financial assistance. They have attorney bills. They have bills related to the care of the children. And she's now doing this on one income, and it's being completely hard for her. She's struggling a lot. She doesn't want to lose her home, and she doesn't want to have to forego any of the needs for her children. So she's hoping that she can get some financial assistance from people in the community.
And they started a GoFundMe account?
Yes, GoFundMe account. So a GoFundMe under Help Celeste.
Help Celeste. C-E-L-E-S-T-E, correct?
No. S-E-L-E-S-T-E.
S-E-L. Okay.
That's why we're in radio.
That's right.
We'll leave the spelling and writing.
No, hey, that's why we ask the questions, right? Just to get it all correct. Well, and we can finish on a more on a positive note here. You know, groundbreaking dates have now been set, changed, but changed for the better. Oftentimes, you're talking about construction of something new. You're not talking about moving a date up. Usually, you're talking about moving a date back. But groundbreaking dates for the new Elyria Athletic Complexes have actually been moved up.
Yes, we will be turning dirt at 4:30 on Thursday, which is moved up from the original date of November the 17th. This project is moving really fast, and I think you can see some site work out there next week, which is the reason why they have to break ground in a couple days.
What's the feeling? I mean, that's got to be a good thing, right? I mean, to get that new stadium up and running?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone is so excited about it. So the groundbreaking ceremony will have all of the school officials, all of the city officials, everyone's ready to grab a shovel and turn some dirt.
Well, yeah, and obviously the sooner the better, because if this thing's going to be ready for football season next year, they'll need some cooperation from Mother Nature. But at the same time, the sooner the better. Now, as far as the elementary schools go, no date's been announced just yet on the groundbreaking for those, correct?
No. The first project up will be the Northwood Campus School, but they are still working out the details about when the groundbreaking will take place.
All right. Very cool stuff. Well, we'll look forward to more details on those as they become available. Anything that you're working on right now that you can tell us about? Obviously, tonight you'll be very busy with the election, but anything outside the election?
Well, last night at City Council meeting that I'm still going to be kind of working on fleshing out, there was a presentation by three groups who wanted to talk about some work they wanted to do in the Midway Mall area. These are groups that said that they want to make renderings and come up with plans and designs and then kind of shop them around to find developers. They've been very successful in finding developers for projects once they get all the nuts and bolts of the projects in place. So that's kind of interesting. I'm going to be looking into that a little bit.
It's kind of fascinating. I mean, a lot's being done kind of over in that area for the obvious reasons, I suppose, but it looks like even more here in the future, as you just mentioned.
Yes.
Very cool stuff. Well, hopefully you can get some sleep after the election coverage is over and done with tonight. What time do you leave the office tonight?
We leave the office when the election results come in, and I think this year they said that they should probably be in about midnight. We wait for final. Even though there are unofficial results, we wait until every vote is counted and the Board of Election closes before we leave.
Okay. Wow. Well, you mentioned in your news report earlier, right, they're supposed to begin counting those
7:30.
Okay.
Well, hopefully they count fast so you guys can get out of the office and get some sleep. Lisa, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and our local beat with Lisa.